This is TWiT.
TikTok, if you've been following the news, you've seen TikTok in the news a whole lot lately. They've been undergoing some incredibly fast-moving, unprecedented political pressure over the past month. President Trump, of course, singled out the company weeks ago, issuing an executive order that would ultimately ban TikTok from operating in the U.S. if not sold to a U.S. company. I think I'm getting that right. Anyway, since then, we've heard that Microsoft and Oracle and even Walmart, strangely, are in the running. Late last night, news broke that the CEO of TikTok, Kevin Mayer, announced his resignation from the role to employees. And joining us to talk about this is Chris Stokel-Walker, a freelance journalist and author of a book right now that you can get on YouTube, but also author of an upcoming book on TikTok, which is so perfectly timed. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hi, nice to have you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's got to be great when you're an author of a book and you're working on something and then something this major and critical around the topic of your book begins to happen. It certainly gives you plenty to write about, but I imagine it also has a lot of complications that it introduces into the process.
Yeah, books go very, very slowly and tech news goes very, very quickly. So the two don't really combine too well, but I'm trying to keep up and learning about supermarkets now. Walmart, obviously, as you said.
Yes, interestingly. So let's first of all start with kind of the big news or what kind of kicked off this the last 24 hours, let's say even the last 12 to 14 hours. What did Mayer say were his reasons for stepping away from this role? And why do you believe he had to do this right now? Like, what do we know about this?
I think it's basically because the job that he signed up for no longer exists. Donald Trump wants TikTok to be split from its parent company, ByteDance, which is based in China. And obviously, that is problematic. Mayer joined in May. You know, we have to remember that wasn't that long ago. And actually, it turns out that Mayer was not only going to be CEO of TikTok, but he was going to be the chief operating officer of ByteDance. And half of that job will disappear at least. But then if you think about if Microsoft end up buying it or if Oracle end up buying it, is this guy who was up until kind of April, May time in line to be the next Disney boss going to end up being middle management for a old-fashioned tech company? He doesn't want that. So he said, yeah, the political environment has changed. His job role has changed. So the time now was to step away. And there has been some reporting about the fact that maybe he stepped away because he was sidelined in the negotiations. Whether or not that is entirely true, I haven't been able to verify it, but it wouldn't surprise me if he kind of feels a little bit disenfranchised from this whole process.
Yeah, I think I read that too, that possibly he sat outside or has sat outside somewhat from the Microsoft negotiations, whatever's going on behind the scenes. And for a CEO of a company like this, that would be about the biggest slap in the face that you could encounter, or at least one of them anyways. Now, he was hired only 4 months ago, 3 to 4 months ago, so not very long ago in the grand scheme of things. What do you think hired motivated his hiring in the first place? Like, what was it about his background that he brought to the table that TikTok and ByteDance thought was perfect for this role?
So, I mean, there's two elements, I think, to that, Jason. Number one is this idea that actually he is a very, very strong executive. He built out a really strong streaming business. He was kind of responsible for Disney Plus. And so we know that he would have been a pretty good fit there. But then there is the geopolitical issue. And this is maybe where me being based in the UK gives a little bit of an advantage here, is I can look at this from outside the United States. What is more American than Mickey Mouse? You know, this is basically the very callous play that I think TikTok made to try and appease Donald Trump, to say, well, we're hiring the most American executive from the most American company, so you can trust us. I think that was partly why they did it. And you know, ultimately, the idea of not having to do that anymore if they are getting a Microsoft or a Walmart, or even just knowing that wasn't enough, presumably, to convince Donald Trump that this wasn't some sort of giant Chinese conspiracy.
Okay, interesting. Now, CNBC reports They have sources that say a deal with Microsoft is imminent. Now we're hearing, like we mentioned earlier, that Walmart might actually be part of this. And this is not Walmart interested on its own in buying TikTok, which, you know, on its face sounds kind of strange and interesting. I would have picked Walmart as a possible suitor. But Walmart, in collaboration potentially with Microsoft, would be behind that. What do you think would be the logic behind a pairing like that?
Well, Walmart wants to get into the e-commerce business, and we know that Douyin and ByteDance in general in China is really big on e-commerce. You know, lots of the things that we see in Chinese tech are starting to come over to Western technology just on a few years' delay. So that idea of having a really mature e-commerce space and kind of building that out from an attempt to tackle Amazon. You know, we know Walmart has kind of fallen behind. So that would explain why they might have been piggybacking on that deal. I know, for instance, they did try to tie up with a few investors earlier on in the process to buy ByteDance, to buy TikTok, sorry. But they ended up being kind of rebuffed. That said, you know, we're seeing a lot of coverage about how this deal is going to happen in the next 48 hours. And at the risk of kind of staking my reputation, I just don't get why, if you spend presumably many thousands of dollars on very fancy lawyers to file a lawsuit against the United States on a Monday, you would end up selling your company on a Friday. I don't think we're going to see people rushed into this. Negotiations will continue because Donald Trump needs to be appeased, but I don't see a deal happening soon. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Now, with that said, you're mentioning appeasing Donald Trump, and you also shared that you're looking at this from the perspective of being a citizen of the UK. So with this being election season here, what do you think the outlook of the Trump administration is as far as whether this deal goes through or not? How do you think this could possibly affect the legacy as well as his potential ability to be voted in again as the president of the United States?
Well, and it's really interesting because we know that Donald Trump throughout his history has been a fighter. He is someone who likes to be on the offensive. And when he was a businessman, he liked to try and make enemies of lots of people. I think that's what we're seeing here. You know, you are two and a bit months out from an election. And so I think really TikTok is the opponent because Joe Biden hasn't been campaigning in person. So it seems to me like Donald Trump wants to say, I brought China to heel to appeal to his base.
Now, it's not just Microsoft. It's not just Walmart. It's also Oracle. Like right as I was about to kind of, you know, sit in my seat and get ready for this, I saw the other news that seemed to be breaking, where sources say that Oracle's proposed a $20 billion deal. So taking a look at all of these potentials in all different directions, which one do you think makes the most sense for TikTok's core business? Which one of these is not going to turn off their legacy users? Because like when I think of Walmart kind of getting involved and, you know, starting to kind of flex their e-commerce muscle inside of an app like TikTok, I think of user revolt to a certain degree. Maybe they could pull it off. But which one of these do you think works, makes the most sense?
I think the Microsoft Walmart deal works best, Jason. And actually, there's a really interesting footnote to this, which is TikTok loves Walmart, or at least one section of it. There is a whole story that is out there by another reporter about how TikTok users end up trying to make these very fancy designer bags and designer jewelry using stuff from Walmart. They like the thriftiness. But yeah, in terms of appealing to the audience, in terms of maybe offending them the least, and in terms of the best fit, I think it's Microsoft, because you know, no one knows who Oracle is. It's just going to be confusing for TikTok users.
Yeah. No one knows who Oracle is. Yeah, I totally get that. That's not something the normal people are going to talk about here in the U.S., trust me. The whole Walmart angle does surprise me a little bit, and I appreciate you sharing that insight as far as the relationship that seems to be budding between TikTok and Walmart. But I want to, with that said, what do you think the value is here? I mean, they're mentioning $20 billion from Oracle. Is that overvalued, undervalued, or what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, pick a number. And to be honest, what is anything valued nowadays? We know from the lawsuit that TikTok filed that there are around 690 million monthly active users. We know 90 million of those are in the United States. So we know that there is the opportunity to monetize a lot of users. We know that an advert to take over the entirety of the homepage on TikTok when you open up the app goes for about $250,000. 20 million to 30 billion seems quite low to me, but then also this is a forced fire sale, so that kind of puts a dampener on the amount. But you know, we've seen in the past 6 or 9 months numbers like 100 billion being thrown at TikTok. You know, this is a big company, and it's actually more than TikTok. You know, ByteDance has a whole suite of apps that could theoretically come after it. So I think that's quite low, but ultimately, if you've got a gun to your head and you're being told you have to sell now, then you have to take the price that's given.
You mentioned fire sell. Oh, I'm sorry, Ann, go.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised considering that we are now at the realm of buying smartphones that aren't flagship devices that are $1,000. So why not just continue to throw more money at everything evolving the world of tech, you know?
Exactly.
Goodness. It kind of goes along with everything. Now, you mentioned the fire sale, the kind of forced fire sale, which feels in and of itself, as the story has progressed, feels pretty unprecedented in the kind of sequence of events that's happened to lead up to now. What is your personal take on this? Obviously, you know, President Trump is here, not there. So let's say you're not directly affected by these actions. But from your perspective, like what does this mean to you that a government like the U.S. government is basically forcing the sale of a Chinese company like this?
Well, it's super concerning because it's a race to the bottom. You know, we know that there are big issues with China, and we know that there are big issues with Chinese technology. It's worth pointing out that, you know, TikTok has been vetted by an awful lot of information security professionals here in the West, and a lot of the stuff that is claimed seems not to be true. But there is this bigger concern here, which is that Donald Trump is stooping to the level of the Chinese Communist Party. They are very keen on a protectionist state. They are very keen on a nationalized, balkanized internet. And more concerning to me than anything else is this idea that you can kind of force innovation to be stifled and have some sort of weird nationalist protectionism just because you don't like where someone comes from. And this is a uniquely American thing to happen. You know, I, from the benefit of being outside of those 50 states, I know that I have to deal with US-based companies in Europe. I have to use Facebook. I have to use Twitter. I have to use Google. All those things are standard. We are used to using US products. For the first time, Americans are getting a taste of their own medicine and realizing actually things exist outside of their country, and sometimes they're better.
Yeah, very well put. Very well put. Now, I mentioned at the very top of this interview, you're working on a book. Any details you want to share there, like kind of time frame? I know it's relatively early, but it looked on your Twitter feed that you're nearing the close of your first draft. Although I don't know, in considering everything that's going on right now, how you actually pick the end of a book like this, because it's progressing so much right now. But what can you share there?
There will be probably 12 drafts between now and publication. First half of 2021 is when it is scheduled to be released, although I'm going to be shouting pretty loudly at my editor that we may need to get it out earlier because this thing doesn't stop. And ultimately, you can't keep track of it.